Hello, Pastor Nate here. Privileged to be back with you at The Bridge. Welcome to all of you who are worshiping with us online here at The Bridge at St. Paul's. It's been a while since I've been with you. I had a couple weeks vacation. We had a couple outdoor services, and then I preached all the services last week. But a privilege to be back with you as host of The Bridge today. Welcome, as today Pastor Pete finishes out our sermon series of In View of God's Mercy. How can we connect with you for us to help you in your life in the middle of this ongoing COVID walk and your spiritual walk home to heaven? Connect with us as you see on screen with me or with Sally Waltner, either through Facebook Live or through our contacts as listed as well. Also, if you are in need of childcare for your children, from infant to three-year-old care, reach out to Tammy. Information online about our child care center. We have spots open and available to you. If you are interested in finding out more about St. Paul's Bridge and our ministry, or just more about Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation through faith in Him, I'll be starting up a new Following the Promise class starting on September 29th. That's a Tuesday night from 7 to 8:15 in the last 12 weeks. It's online, recorded for you, so you will be able to miss a class or two, pick it up off the videos that I record and send your way, but a chance to connect with God's Word and Jesus as your Savior. Is life a challenge? Feel free to reach out to any of the four pastors at St. Paul's. We'd be happy to reach out to you and help you navigate the journey home to heaven through faith in Jesus. Also, if you are looking for a way to make a difference in this world, Joel Nelson is connecting us with Lighthouse Youth Center in Milwaukee, where there are students who are not in in-person classroom right now, doing everything online, and who struggle with that a little bit. You can be a tutor. You can help supply suppers for these kids at Lighthouse Youth Center. There's also ways to support financially if you want to make a difference in this COVID-19 world. And then also a quick announcement for you that beginning next week, St. Paul's will not only be live streaming The Bridge, but live streaming our 9:15 worship service as well. So check that out. If you are more of a traditional worship language person, check that out. Or just for the variety, we'd be happy to have you join us that way as well. And then that said, also, if you are looking to continue supporting St. Paul's ministry or begin supporting St. Paul's ministry, go to stpaulsmuskego.org/give, and there's a variety of ways from texting to give to giving through the website to dropping your offering in the mail. We'd love to have you support the work that we're doing. Gospel ministry is happening. 45 to 50 people involved in Following the Promise class over the summer in three different classes. Your love for God and for His world is translating into gospel ministry. All that said, I'm now going to turn it over to the praise band and to open up worship for us, taking us into our sixth sermon in the sermon series, In View of God's Mercy, Jesus' love for us through the cross and through forgiveness, inspires us to live differently and to love differently. And today we talk about the fellowship that we have together as God's people, supporting the gospel ministry of Jesus, but also supporting each other. With those thoughts, God's blessings on your worship. Thanks for joining us. To God be the glory today and through your next week.
Morning, Bridge. Let's stand. We'll sing our first song together. Welcome to those of you guys who are worshiping with us online. I know it's a wet day here in Wisconsin. I'm not sure where you're at, but more people online, a little bit more with us. So please, when you're home, sing along in your heart, sing along in your voice. You know this song. We're going to sing it together.
From the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? You bore my weakness, you took my shame, buried my burdens in fields of grace. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? From the heights of heaven, you stepped down to earth. Innocent perfection, you gave your life for us, and we are amazed. Yes, we stand in awe, for we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great is your love. From the heights of heaven, you step down.
To our life. Pastor Pete's going to be leading us in our final time in this message series. And when we chose the songs, we wanted to be able to get back our focus just a little bit to be able to say, why would we live differently than the world? Why would I live for something greater than myself? And where is that example come from? And this picture of the love of God, his sacrifice for you, for me. Do you ever think about that maybe Jesus, when he was on the cross, saw every single person that he was dying for. Every sin that you and I have committed, he saw. And he loved us so much to name us and to call us by name. That's the love that we sing about. So I know we're a little smaller today. It's vacation weekend. I get it, but we're online with a lot of people too. Could we just sing a little bit loud today? Is that good? That was that? Yeah, okay, good. All right. There has never been.
There has never been, there will never be a God like you, love so true. There has never been, there will never be a God like you, love so true. There has never been, there will never be. will never be.
There's only one.
A God like you, a love so true, there has never been, there will never be. A God like
take a moment too as we sing this next song, prepare our hearts for the message. Pastor Nate leads for the worship team a little bit of a brief devotion, and he brought us to the cross of Christ. And all I could think of is just the image just flashed through my mind of Jesus. Just, he was hanging there in silence for those hours. What was he doing? And the fact that God knows us by name. He knows everywhere I've been. He knows everything that I've done and I said, the things that have given him joy and the things that have broken his heart. And so one of the great opportunities that he invites us into when our conscience speaks and reminds us that we don't deserve that love, Jesus says, come. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we offer a prayer. Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us. We thank you for the relationship that you give us in your Son's name. Lord, we have been in places where we shouldn't have been. We have said things that we want to take back. Father, we've sinned in ways that we don't even know, and we've not done things that were really meant to be the moment to step forward and step up in your name, and we haven't done it. Lord, for the places where we've broken your heart, and we've broken relationship and trust with other people, all I can say is I'm sorry. My nature is sinful. And even though I have the Spirit in me, there is a war inside, and I don't win all those battles. So I ask, Father, forgive me. For Jesus' sake. However you say that in your own words. Lord God, thank you for the cross of Christ. That as we open our eyes, God says, cast it on me. It's literally all the stuff that I've done, all the stuff, and he says, cast it. Don't hold on to it, because it's not yours anymore. And we have that because of the cross of Christ. And so it's a joy to be able to say to one another that when we trust in Jesus and we say, Father, forgive, he says, you are forgiven. And then he gives us a purpose, and he says, go be the forgiveness that other people need and call them back to me, the source of it all. And this song, again, that we know, God of Calvary, what a great song to get us back to the focus of where that mercy has come from, so that when we live in view of God's mercy, it's always Calvary.
Calvary, light of all the world, with the world on his shoulders, the weight of all our shame on him who knew no sin. A holy surrender, the sky went dark, the angels wept, the Father looked away, the final breath, he bowed his head, the Lamb of God was. The hill of Calvary into the Father's hands, a holy surrender, a borrowed tomb, his mother wept, there his body lay, but the stone was moved.
You may be seated.
Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now.
How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
That we can find unity in Christ. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at different ways that Satan uses to divide the church. We've heard about the variety of spiritual gifts that God has given us, which is meant to be a marvelous blessing from God, and yet that diversity among us, Satan can use it to divide us. Envy or pride can easily well up in our hearts. We went on and looked at the last half of Romans 12, love sincerely, and we have to admit that even though we try, we very often hurt the people around us, even the people that we love sincerely, we hurt them, and anger and vengeance can well up in our hearts, and Satan wins, and the church is divided. Who would have imagined that our view of government could be so divisive as it is in our culture today? We looked at that too. And then last week it was these disputed matters, the things that God has neither forbidden nor commanded, the things that we feel really passionate about. Satan can use that to lead us to look down on people who don't view the world and customs in the same way that we do. This is what drives me as I think about this message series, back under the cross. It's under the cross, in view of God's mercy, that we're reminded that in spite of all the times that Satan has used us to sow discord and pain in this world, God looks at us through Christ. And through him we have peace, Romans 5, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that God the Father looks at us through Christ and he sees us as his forgiven children. He's at peace with us. We are his saints. And so, it's a great place to live, here under the cross, in view of God's mercy. And it's only here under the cross that we have unity, because this is really what binds us. We are all the same. The only place, the only safe place for us to live is in view of God's mercy under the cross. And it is that unity in Christ alone that the Apostle Paul celebrates as he brings his letter to the Christians in Rome to a close. We're going to skim over the last chapter and a half. We're going to just look at selected verses. But that's really what he's doing, is he is just celebrating this marvelous unity in Christ. And why is that unity so important? The apostle brings that home in the last verses of his letter.
In Romans 16, verses 25 to 27, he writes, "Now to him, to God the Father, who was able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known to the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God." And now this is the key phrase, "so that." This is why the ministry is so important. This is why unity in Christ is so important. "So that all the Gentiles, all the nations, might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God, be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul was writing this letter so that there might be unity with him and the church in Rome, unity in Christ alone, so that all the nations might experience what we've experienced as we humble ourselves under the cross of Christ, that we find God's mercy and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit inspired this letter so that we might find that same unity in Christ alone. Because Paul's ministry, his goal that all the nations would know this mercy of God in Christ, that's our mission too, isn't it? Isn't that our personal mission, our corporate mission as a body of believers? And so as he brings the letter to a close, he explains why is it that it is so important to hold on to this unity in Christ. In Romans 15, verse 23, he talks about his plans that he has. He writes, "But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions." He's talking about the region of Greece. He is in the Greek peninsula. He's in Corinth as he writes this letter to the Roman Christians. He's had a chance to carry out mission work in Macedonia, northern Greece, and then Athens and Corinth, the heart of Greece. He's been able to go up the western side of that peninsula, what is today Albania and Bosnia and Serbia. He says, there's no more place for me to work. I want to preach the gospel in new places. So there's no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. The whole point of Paul's letter was to make sure that they had unity in Christ alone so that he would have teammates who would join him in this most important mission, that all the nations would know the Savior, so that they could be united with Paul and help him as he goes farther west to Spain. Unity in Christ is vital if we're going to carry out our ministry together. Have you ever been at a church service where you hope that there's no visitors present? I've been there. You know, there's tension among the members of the congregation. And you know that anybody who walks into that room will be able to feel that tension, and you just go, Lord, don't let there be any visitors to experience this. Because Jesus said, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But if we can't get along, if there's not unity in Christ, rather than assisting each other in our personal ministry, we are hindering each other. But what a marvelous thing it is when we are united in Christ that we can assist one another. How great it is if part of the nations that you're trying to reach are a family member or a neighbor that you think, you know what? One of my friends in the congregation would really connect well with this person and be able to speak into their heart, to be able to ask, hey, let's get together and let's just do some social time together and you can assist me in my mission work. That's why it's so wonderful that we are united as a Christian congregation, that we can not only assist each other in our personal mission work, but also assist our mission partners all over the world. You know, this past weekend, last night, I was just about ready to begin the service, you know, and I right before the service, I always pull out my phone, you know, and I check to see if there's any events that have happened that I should know about. And so I checked, you know, and there's no world events, and I had a few more seconds, so I checked Facebook, and I'm so glad I did. Because Richard's dad had posted. Richard is a young man who was in our kindergarten class in January, February, and March. His parents had come from East Asia to visit here, and the coronavirus had stranded them here in the United States, and they just asked, hey, could our son come to your school for a few weeks until we were able to go back home. And Richard's dad became a Facebook friend with me. And I know from Facebook that they just got home about a week ago, so they were stranded here in the United States for about 7 months. And last night, I opened up Facebook and I saw this man who is now living thousands and thousands of miles away, saying thank you to the people of Wisconsin. And he posted a lot of different pictures, and some of those pictures were pictures of our old church and pictures of our church. You know, we were privileged to be united with Richard's mom and dad and with little Richard. We assisted them in their ministry. This is the beauty of being united in Christ alone. We can encourage and help each other in our ministry. Another issue that Paul brings out is right at the end of chapter 15, the last paragraph. He writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I might come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. It's amazing to me how often the Apostle Paul asks the Christians in the northeastern corner of the Mediterranean world, please join me in my struggle by praying for me. It amazes me because, you know, I think this makes no sense. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. He's in Corinth right now, so they're 1,000 miles away. The letter will be delivered by Phoebe, who will be mentioned in the next chapter. It'll probably take her a month or two to get to Rome. You know, join with me in my struggle. They won't have any idea what Paul is facing at that moment. But the Apostle Paul was convinced that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so over and over again he said, please join with me in my struggle. Read through Paul's letters and you see it repeated over and over. See, this is one of the reasons why God wants us to be united in Christ, that we can join with each other in our struggles, that we can be praying for each other. And the need for prayers is more vital today than ever. Paul said, pray so that the unbelievers, those outside the church, won't hinder the mission. Certainly, we and God's church are facing pressure from outside that can disrupt God's plan and God's purpose and God's mission. But then he also prays, don't let the devil divide the church. There are problems in the Christian church of Paul's day. Problems so big that he says, you know, this offering that I've been gathering in Greece and Macedonia for the last year and a half or 2 years, Paul had been gathering this offering from these Gentile Christians to help out the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul is praying, or asking, please pray for me, join in my struggle, so that when I bring this gift to these Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, they won't go, I don't want anything to do with those Gentile congregations. I don't want their charity. The devil loves to divide his church. That was present back then. It is even more present today, isn't it? 2020 has brought ways that Satan is trying to divide the church that we could never have imagined. Let's join together in the unity that we have here under the cross and join each other in our struggles. Because your prayer, the prayer of a righteous person, is powerful and effective. So how do we preserve this unity so that we can assist each other and so that we can pray for each other? Well, part of it is to spend some time in thanksgiving for the unity that we have in Christ alone. Now, Romans chapter 16 is a fun chapter to do for a joint Bible study. As long as somebody else has to read the chapter out loud, always make sure that you never have to read Romans 16 out loud, because there's all these names, you know? They're hard. So make somebody else do it. Why is it that the Apostle Paul lists more than 30 names in this chapter? He's celebrating the unity that he has with these Christians in Rome, 1,000 miles apart, but he is still united with them. He talks about men and women, and he says, you know, he names somebody and says, this person has worked very hard in the Lord. He even talks about Rufus's mom and says, she's been a mom to me too. Let's strive to preserve the unity that we have in Christ alone by just spending some time making a list of our own. You know, Paul made a list of more than 30 people. Who do you know who has worked very hard in the Lord? Maybe in the corporate church that you just say, thank you, Lord, for the impact that this person has had in God's church. But especially, spend some time thinking about the people in your life who have worked very hard in the Lord, who maybe has become a mother or a father in Christ to you. And just spend some quiet time giving thanks to God for that marvelous gift. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with a thankful heart for the unity that you have in view of God's mercy. That thankfulness goes a long way enabling us to forgive each other when we fail each other. And then Paul says there's something really important that we need to do to preserve this marvelous unity. In verse 17, he writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I urge you to look out for people who will disrupt the unity that we have in Christ, teaching things that are contrary to what you have learned. Where are the teachings? It's right here, right? If we treasure what we have in view of God's mercy, that the God of peace allows us to live in His grace, that marvelous forgiving love, if you and I treasure that, if you and I want to share that with the nations, with everybody around us, then it's vital that we protect the unity that we have here in view of God's mercy. And we do that by knowing the teachings. To encourage us not to be, get to know all of Scripture. This one, if you haven't done it already, please. Let's start. Are you personally, let today be the day. You know, I read the Bible every year. And this year with COVID, I say, hey, come along with me. I'm trying to give you a little idea background. If the Old Testament chapters, you know, there's a couple of chapters we read the Old Testament next year. He starts with the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head in the Garden of Eden, and he follows that promise all the way to us and to you and to your eternal home. Or join us in study. I couldn't be prepared for just saying, I know this is going to happen, so I'm going to be prepared for that. There are lots of surprises in 2020. 2021 will probably have surprises too. What new tool is Satan going to use to try to divide the church, to destroy the unity that we have in Christ? I don't know, but I know the answer is here. The teachings. Now's the time for us to learn the teachings so that we can recognize where we're being led astray and we can hold on to the unity that we have in Christ. I appreciate how Paul ends that section. You know, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace. The God who was at peace with you. The God who looks at you through the cross of Christ. The God who on Good Friday and Easter morning crushed Satan's power. That God of peace promises that you and I, we will crush Satan under our feet as well. He is the great divider. He wants to spread disunity and ruin any effort that God's church has to carry out the most important mission of this world, that all the nations could live here under the cross. he will not be victorious. You and I have unity here and here under the cross. We crush Satan under our feet. We claim unity in Christ. And God's mission will be fulfilled. Amen. Please stand and let's pray. Father in heaven, you are able to establish us by the mysteries that have been revealed in the scriptures. That God became a human being and died on the cross for us. That this God wants all peoples to be saved. That there is no sin that was so bad that cannot be atoned for. This is a mystery that has been revealed. Every one of us can claim your perfect forgiveness. Every one of us can share that perfect forgiveness with other people, no matter what they've done. You are able to establish us by this gospel message. And so we ask that you would help each one of us every day to remember, I live here under the cross in view of God's mercy. I live in your perfect forgiveness, Lord. And as I've been forgiven, Lord, help me to be forgiving to each other, that Satan's efforts to divide us will not be victorious. And then, Lord, let the love that we have here in God's church be infectious. That people see the love that we have under the cross and they're attracted to this same place. That all the nations might live here in this place of perfect peace with us. Lord, work that miracle by your power and through your grace. Amen. And we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Your heart, what stirs your soul, what matters come to mind, cares, the cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time, seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep away from home.
together.
Let everything praise the Lord.
Guys can be seated. Just a couple of announcements today. Pastor Nate had to run. He had a funeral that he has to get off to today, so that's why he's not up here to be able to greet you officially as our bridge host pastor. But Pastor Nate is back, and we'll be back again next week. A couple of things that you guys need to know about first and foremost. Thomas, if we can move to the announcement slides, please. The announcement slides, the ones that are, there we go. So speaking of Pastor Nate, the new class for Following the Promise begins on September 29th. And again, this is a Zoom class. He's already well underway with one, and he'll be starting this one up in September 29th. So it's a great opportunity, as Pastor Pete mentioned, to just be able to dive in with the Bible. And Pastor Nate does a great job with this. You won't be the only one. There's already quite a few people that are signing up for it. So that is happening September 29th. It begins again. Next slide, please. Just so you guys know, one of the investments, your gifts and your giving, has allowed us to be able to do a lot of things up at the sanctuary, too. And next week, for those who love the traditional language with the full liturgy and the organ or the piano and the hymns, we will be live streaming that beginning at 9:15 next week. So can we just say thank you, Jesus, on that one? There's been a lot of people that have been working on that to make that happen, and we are so excited to be able to offer both of these languages to people. And I'll just let you know that we are also working on something, too, for Family Church, but we'll have announcements on that later on down the line. Next one, please. The opportunity to be able to give online if you'd like to continue to support. We do encourage that if you are part of our family here so that we can continue to do more gospel work together. But the place to be able to do it is stpaulmuskego.org/give. You can also leave your offering in the basket that's over here, and we will put that to the use of God's ministry here at St. Paul's. We will begin with a new message series. It'll be 3 weeks. Better Together is where we're going to be going next, and I won't be telling you a whole lot about that, I'll give you the three ideas: me, you, us. Those will be the three weeks, so I'm grateful to have great pastors to work with and see where they will be guiding us in God's Word. So that's going to begin next week. And I think we've got one more slide in here that we've got September 20th. want you guys to know about that. We will be doing one more outdoor service. We've had a lot of people come. A lot of families have been here on those days. So if the weather allows us to, we will be outside. Don't worry. For those of you who are online, we will be likely live streaming that one again as well. And there's a small chance that we may even, if we get miracle weather in October and not snow this year, we may try to do one more as well. Just a quick prayer request. Some of you guys who are Bridge supporters know we've been talking about this. There are a number of things that are in the warehouse. Now we have to get dates and electricians to work together so that we can install some of the other improvements that we're talking about. So if you guys could just keep those projects in our ministry in your prayers, that is awesome. At this time, we're going to sing one last song. And we'd love to be able to shout this one out. If you want to be loud, you can. We've got good air. Sally already opened up the doors as well. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing this song. Just again, as we remember that while we have an enemy that stands against us, we also have the Savior who has already crushed the enemy under his feet. And there will be a day coming when you and I will as well. Let's stand and we'll sing this song.
Awesome in power, our God, our God.
Bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he give you his spirit. May he give you his confidence. May he give you his peace and his rest. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. We will see you guys again here next week. So next week is the 13th. We will still be here. The 20th will be, God willing, outside. Enjoy the last day of summer. I'm a meteorologist, for those of you who don't know. It's going to get cold. Never mind. All right. We're going to play you guys out. You guys have a fantastic. Thank you.